You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Thank you very much. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Kings chapter number 12. 2 Kings chapter number 12, and I appreciate and love Pastor Treiber so much, and really the members of North Valley Baptist Church, and then you all make Youth Conference happen, and it's going to be a tremendous, we've had a tremendous week so far together, and I pray that that continues, and I do have such a great Christian heritage. I love my family so much, and even if your family is not in church, you still should love your family. You should still care for your family. You should still pray for your family. And maybe they're not doing all the things that you think they should be doing, or maybe not what the church would like for them to do, but still love them and care for them and pray for them. But I have such a privilege to grow up in a Christian family and to have a Christian heritage, and I have enjoyed that so much. I used to, once upon a time, back in college, I used to always be afraid of sharing my testimony and of sharing how I grew up literally in church. My mom was a superintendent of one of the nurseries, so I spent a lot of time in the nurseries. I had a great time, and I played with those toys. Even if I had graduated out of the nursery already, I still went in there and played. And then my dad was a deacon, a bus captain, and so I spent a lot of time on the bus routes as well. And so I grew up in church, and when I went to college, I met all these different people who had varying testimonies and all these different places that they had come from and backgrounds and all kind of different cultures and things like that. And I look at my testimony, I'm like, man, I wish I was saved from drugs. You know, like, I wish that I had this cool testimony that, you know, I had like a neck tattoo or something like that. I wish that, you know, and I'd always be afraid of sharing my testimony. And I remember talking to one of my very good friends, you know, pastors up in upstate New York, and he taught me this and he encouraged me. And I was giving my testimony in the C Ministry Teen Church there during my college years. And he said, Luke, you know, your testimony is what I wish that I had. I wish that I had your testimony. It's not the other way around. You shouldn't wish that you had my testimony. He was saved and really didn't even know his parents and had grown up in the bus routes. And the bus routes literally had brought him to church and had sent him to Bible college. And the teens that I was about to speak to, he said, these teens want what you had. And so don't be afraid of your testimony. Whatever your testimony, whatever your background would have been, I can guarantee you that the people who maybe did not have that Christian testimony or Christian heritage, that's what they want. And so never be ashamed of where God put you through or where you came from, no matter what your background, no matter what your testimony. You know, my testimony plays into this message that we're going to have this morning. And even though I had a great Christian heritage, I literally had the model Christian family, the greatest family that I could ever ask for. Even though I had a loving family, a caring family, a godly family, I had a caring church and a godly church, I had a loving pastor, I had all those things going for me, but you know what? There was still a time in my life where I wanted to do my own thing. I wanted to live my own life. I wanted to go my own way. And there was a time in my life, and we'll talk about that just this morning for just a few moments, but there was a specific decision. There was a specific point in my life that I can go back to, and I remember that time very, very vividly. It's etched in my brain forever, that time in my life where I had this choice or I had this choice. And you know what? Every single one of us faces that, no matter what age you are, or no matter where you've come from or your testimony, you are still faced with the same decision. And the decision that I made at that very pivotal moment in my life changed the outcome of my life forever. Amen. That's what the theme of the week is, High Noon. It's the most pivotal moment in a decision or a situation in which the decisions made at that moment, at that crucial time, shape the outcome forevermore. The high noon moments in our life, and we can go back to just a few in each and every one of our lives, where those decisions, literally shaped the entire outcome of our life. Amen. In the text that we're going to read this morning, there was a specific decision that was made that affected the outcome. You know, we're in 2 Kings. I am a nerd like this. I haven't always been a nerd. At one point in time, I was pretty cool. I know it's hard to believe now. I was actually pretty cool. But now I'm just a nerd. I am absolutely loving studying the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel right now. It is so fascinating. It totally captures what I'm going through in my Bible study time right now. And it's just amazing studying out all these different kings and how the kingdom of Israel up north and the kingdom of Judah down south, and how they split and how they had all these different kings and all types of different personalities. And out of the 19 kings that were the kings of Israel, not a single one the Bible describes as being good in the sight of the Lord. Not a single one. Every one of the 19 kings of Israel were wicked. Out of the 20 kings of Judah, only 8 were described as being right or doing good in the sight of the Lord. We're going to talk about one of those just for a few moments this morning. 2 Kings chapter number 12, there in your text. And this exact same account is also told, and we'll turn there in just a moment, in 2 Chronicles. But in 2 Kings chapter number 12, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. It says, the Bible says, in the 7th year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign, and 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Ziba, Beersheba. And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Out of all these kings of Israel, out of all these kings of Judah, he was one of the few, one of the very, very select that did right in the sight of the Lord. The verse continues, all the days of Jehoiada the priest instructed him, but the high places... were not taken away, the people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. This king, Jehoash, is just an incredible figure to study. Jehoash has an incredible beginning. If you go back, we won't do that for sake of time, but if you go back to chapter number 11, Jehoash literally should have died. He should have died. His father was the king, and his father had died. And so guess what? Jehoash's grandmother, Athaliah, who actually was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, the daughter, Athaliah, became queen. She surpassed all the authority, became queen, and literally murdered all of her grandchildren so that she could be queen of Judah. But Jehoash was saved as just a baby. He was stolen away, and he was placed in the temple for 7 years. He was placed in the temple, and he was hidden so that Athaliah did not know that he even existed. So he was kept away, and the person who stored him away or kept him hidden was this priest, Jehoiada. Jehoiada the priest stowed him away and kept him hidden so that one day he could ascend and take the throne. And they did that at the age of 7. At the age of 7. I have a daughter right now. She is 6. I cannot imagine my daughter being the queen of an entire country. There's just no way. It totally fathoms my mind. But at this time, at that time, Athaliah was doing complete wickedness. It was just complete debauchery. And so Jehoiada the priest came, and there was a coup, an insurrection, and they lifted up the true king, Jehoash, and they lifted him up, and at the age of 7, installed him as the king of Judah. And Jehoash did not have any good familiar heritage that you could point to. He didn't have a father. He didn't have a mother. He didn't have any family. All the rest of his family was literally murdered. And so he is there, but he still had the priest, Jehoiada. Jehoiada, it says here in verse number 2, that Jehoiada instructed him and helped him and encouraged him and placed him in a lifted and high position. And you know, for each and every one of our life, we can point back to a spiritual leader that has helped us, has instructed us, has brought us along, has helped us mature in the Christian life, and has done things for us. And the priest or the spiritual leadership that we have in each and every one of our life, we should honor them, respect them, care for them, let them know how thankful we are
are for them, because each and every one of us does not just arrive at the destination. We are brought along, and we are trained, and we're instructed, and we're helped along. And if you have a bus worker that helps you, or you have a youth pastor that helps you, or you have a pastor or a parent that cares for you and prays for you and teaches you and brings you along in the spiritual life, we should honor them and respect them. And every single one of us has people like that. Jehoiada the priest was a very, very righteous man of God. And at this time, after the installation of Jehoash the king, there was spiritual revival. They rebuilt the temple. There was the breaking down of the different places, and they put away the idols, but they kept the high places. They kept the high places. I have not figured out why would they keep the high places. The high places in the times of the Bible, in these times, there was only one time where it was used in a religious, in a good space, in a good light, and that was before the building of the temple. And after the building of the temple, every single time that the high places are mentioned, it was for evil or for idolatry or for service of Baal. But they kept the high places. Even still, there was a spiritual revival among the people. And you can read the text. We won't do it for sake of time. But Jehoiada makes a covenant with the people. And he says, this people will be the Lord's. And these people will serve. And the priests and the people and the king made a covenant together that they were going to serve the Lord. And Jehoash was one of the righteous kings of Judah. One of the very, very few. But there's a phrase here that catches my attention. In verse number 2, the Bible says, and Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Look at what it says. All his days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. It says Jehoash only did that which was right in the sight of the Lord for a specific time period. It wasn't his entire life. It wasn't the entire span of his life. It was only while Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter number 24. 2 Chronicles chapter number 24, this exact same account is given. 2 Chronicles chapter number 24 and verse number 1. And we have this exact same account that we have here. And even in verse number in chapter number 23, you have the whole the insurrection and installing of Jehoash the king. And in verse number 1 of chapter number 24, Joash, same exact person, different spelling, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Ziba Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. What does it say? All the days of Jehoiada the priest. It doesn't say that he did right his entire life. It doesn't say that he did right because of these reasons. It said he did right all the days of Jehoiada the priest. You know, even with my Christian heritage and even with my perfect family and literally my perfect church, there was still a time in my life where I personally had to decide, this is what I wanted. Every single, I remember so vividly, it was my senior year of high school. Amen. Something had just transpired, and I had two sets of friends. I had the friends over here that at times would do things that would maybe skirt the rules or go around the rules, and they did these other things over here, and I had another set of friends that would always encourage me to do the right thing and always were trying to help me and to encourage me along. And all of us, by the way, even the people who did skirt the rules, they went to every single youth activity. They went to every single teen soul winning. They went to all of these different things, even though that's not really what they wanted. But they were all there, and so we were at all these different events. But I remember so vividly. There was a time where I literally could, not for any kind of immorality or anything like that, but I could have been kicked out of school. I don't know if I've ever told this story publicly, but there was a specific instance where I should have been expelled from Christian school in my senior year. And for some reason, the principal, and for some reason, pastor decided to give me grace and let me stay. And I took that as this was my one moment. This was my one chance to get it right. This was the decision point in my life. And looking back now, I can trace all of the great decisions that I've made in my life back to this singular moment where I was talking to my dad, and I remember he gave me probably the best. My dad gives lots of great advice. He gives such the great advice. One of the things he always says is, you always get what you pay for. That's always a good one. I love that one. And now I'm a dad, and I always say that to people too. And so, but I remember him saying one specific piece of advice to me. He said, Luke, you have to decide if this is what you want. Is this what you want? And he was talking about the Christian life. He was talking about the church. He was talking about faith. And every single one of us, whether you're raised in a Christian home, whether you're raised in a broken home, whether you attend church faithfully, whether you don't attend church regularly, we each have to decide, is this what we want? Do I want to serve God, or do I want to do my own thing? Do I want to have a personal relationship with God, or do I want to enjoy the pleasures of the world? Amen. We each have a choice to make. Because here's what happens. Jehoash was king of Judah. And guess what he was doing? He was doing right in the sight of the Lord. He was doing the things that he was supposed to do. He was saying the right things. He was doing the right things. He was helping people. He was dressing the right way. He was doing all the things that he should have been doing, but he was doing them for the wrong reasons. Right. Here's what happens. Look at if you 2 Chronicles chapter number 24. Look at verse number 15. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. And 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel, but towards God and towards his house. Verse number 17. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. This was the change. This was the pivoting moment. Jehoash in his life did right in the sight of the Lord all the days of his spiritual leader. And I ask us this morning, are we doing right in the eyes of the Lord just because we have a youth pastor? Or just because we have a family or a parent? Or just because we have a senior pastor that prays for us? Or because we have friends? Because I guarantee you one day you will be by yourself. And those people that you made decisions for are not going to be there. They're not going to be there, whether they go by way of death or go and as you grow older in life, and they're not going to be there every single decision you make. And so the decisions that you make personally right now, whether or not this is what you want. Is this what you want? We just sang a song about God's saving grace, and he saved us out of sin, and we don't have to go to hell. We get to live forever in heaven with him, and we get to share eternity with him, and we get to be saved. But did he do all of that? And we still say this is not what we want. I don't believe God saved us so that we could just sit. I don't believe God saved us so we could just enjoy a life. I don't believe God saved us so that we could just have a eternal security, and we have all those things. That's all great. But we should be living for him a dedicated life. Here's what happens. Jehoash did right in the sight of the Lord because of Jehoiada the priest. So the question this morning is, who are you doing the good things for? You're here at a great youth conference. You go to a great church. You say all the right things. You know how to dress. You know how to act. You know how to speak. You know how to fool your parents. You know how to fool your pastor. You know how to go teen soul winning. You know how to go to Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. You do all those things. Why do you do it? Why do you do it? Do you do it because you have a pastor? Do you do it because of your parents? Do you do it because of your youth pastor? Do you do it because of your bus worker? Do you do it because of your friends? Why do you do it? Amen. If you do it for any one of those reasons and you do that, it's a great thing to start. By the way, there's nothing wrong with starting that way. Yeah. There's absolutely nothing wrong with coming to church because you have a youth pastor, because you have a pastor that cares for you. Absolutely. I am 100% for that. That's absolutely good. But listen to this. That will not last. It will not last a lifetime. And one point in your life later on, you are going to be by yourself and you are going to be faced with this decision. Is this what I want? Is this what I want? You know, I don't do a lot of good things. I am not very good around the house as far as chores go. And my wife does a tremendous job at keeping the house up and making it a great place to live. And she does a tremendous job, but I can do one. I'm not very good. I'm not a very good sweeper or vacuumer or any of those things. But there's one thing, and most of the time it's just because I just don't do it the right way. I vacuum wrong, or you know, I move a chair. I just can't do it. Cannot do it right. There's one thing that I can do. I can wash dishes. That's my thing. That's my chore. And that's my responsibility at the house, is I get to wash the dishes. And that's the one thing I can do that I know I can do it right. And I can put them away in the right cupboard and I can wash dishes. You know, a couple months ago, my father-in-law had an accident and ended up breaking one of the vertebrae in his neck, and he has made a full recovery since then. But because of that, my wife and the rest of her family flew out to Kansas to go be with him during that recovery process, and I got to be at the house with my kids by myself. Daddy daycare time right here. And I got to babysit my own kids. It's not babysitting if it's your own kids, by the way. It's just called being a parent. And I got to be with my kids by myself during that time. And my wife was great. She lined up all these different activities for them, you know, other people to watch them through the day while I was at work, and all these different things. But you know what I realized when she was gone? As soon as she left, you know what? You know that chore that I had washing the dishes? I didn't really want to do it anymore. I didn't want to do it because she wasn't there and she wasn't going to know whether or not I washed the dishes. If I let the dishes just sit out an extra day or two, you know, nobody's going to know, you know? And so I realized that I didn't, but you know what? I came to decide that because I was washing the dishes for her, because I know that that helps her and I love her and I want to show how much I love her. And I was washing the dishes for her, but you know what? While she was gone, I had to decide to wash the dishes for myself. And it's a simple, it's a silly, silly illustration. But I had to decide this is what I want to do because I know it's right. Not because I'm doing it for somebody else. Not because I want to show them what I'm doing. Not because I want to have just the outward action, this is what I'm trying to do. I had to decide for myself, this is what I wanted to do. This is the right thing to do. And I was doing that, and I took care of all the dishes, and even when she got back, I had the entire house cleaned, it was all immaculate, and then she came by and rearranged all the furniture anyway. So, you know, it doesn't end up working out. But you know what? In each and every one of our lives, in the Christian life, here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. One day, your spiritual leader, the person that you look up to right now, they are not going to be there forever. They're not going to be there forever. And so the question is, and I'm so thankful for all of the salvation decisions that were made, and a lot of people have that secured, and there are probably several that still don't have that secured in their own life. And if you have not done that, you I don't know how many opportunities you have left for salvation. I don't know if there's going to be very many opportunities for you left. Right. At one point, there won't be any more opportunities for you to get saved. Right. And so if you have not done that, decide today. This is the time to do it. But beyond salvation, and many of us have that secured in our own life and settled, beyond salvation, is the Christian life what you want? Is the Christian life what you want? And for many of you, you probably would say in your heart of hearts, and you look inside and nobody else knows. My pastor doesn't know. My youth pastor doesn't know. Not even my parents know. But I really don't want to do this. I really don't want this. Yeah, it's fun, and yeah, sometimes it's exciting, and yeah, my friends around, but this is not what I want. It's evidenced by as soon as you graduate, the vast, vast majority, nearly 80%, walk out the door never to return to church again. That's when it truly shows that you didn't want this. This is not what you wanted. You were showing respect for a certain season, and it's good to do that, but it does not last. And so in your heart of hearts, you look inside and you say, this is not truly what I want. Let's see what happens when we play that out. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter number 24. The Bible says, let's skip all the way to verse number 25. Here it is, the death of Joash. And when they were departed from him, his servants, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of their sons, Jehoiada the priest, and the sons, and slew him on his bed, and he died. Jehoash murdered by his own servants. After spending time in diseases, after spending losses in wars, he finally comes to the end of his life, and he was murdered in his life. And he lived and he started so well, and he started doing right, but at the very end of his life, he had it in total ruin and disaster. Look what happens. This is what happens in our life. Perhaps you would say, again, in your heart of hearts, this is not what I had planned. This is not what I wanted. What God's going to do is in verse number 20. The Bible says, and this is after Jehoiada the priest already dies, and Jehoash is king. In verse number 20, the Spirit of God came to Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. Verse number 21, and they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones, what? At the commandment of the king. The king, Joash, was so bitter towards Jehoiada that he stoned his own son, but God gave him, and that was the one chance that Joash had to turn his life around. You see, Joash, he had served the Lord during the time of the priest and during the times of his spiritual leader. He had served God, and finally his spiritual leader goes off the scene, and he's by himself, and he chooses to do wrong. What does God do? God sends one last opportunity. He sends one last prophet, and he goes, hey, it's time to get right. It's time to do what the Lord wants you to do. And the king commands him to be stoned. How sad. How sad a situation. How much of a turn of events is Joash as he serves God in the beginning part of his life, and he does it all the days of this spiritual leader of Jehoiada the priest. Finally, the priest is off the scene, and he says, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to listen to the princes of the world, and I'm going to go ahead and live the life that I want to live, and I don't care about what happened over there. By the way, lest we forget, Jehoiada, his spiritual leader, was the only reason he was alive in the first place. He was the only reason that he was even alive. He should have been murdered many, many years ago as a baby. He should have died. And Jehoiada the priest saved him and raised him up and taught him. And total rejection. Total rejection of his spiritual leader. And so the message this morning is this. Why do you do what you do? Amen. You have salvation settled. You know where you're going to spend eternity. You know what God's telling you to do. You sat in Sunday school. You've sat in Sunday morning. You've gone to Sunday night. You've heard the Bible stories. You've read the Bible for yourself. You know what God is asking you to do, and you do it, and we do that, and we obey the Bible, and we live for God. But the question is, why do we do what we do? You say all the right things, you dress all the right way, you go ahead and you act a certain way, and the question this morning is, why do you do what you do? Do you do it for your spiritual leader? Do you do it for your pastor? Do you do it for your parents? Do you do it for your youth pastor? Do you do it for your bus worker? Do you do it for just your friends? Because at the end of your life, they won't be there. You are going to have to decide for yourself, is this what I want? Is the Christian life truly what I want? And by the way, the Word of God makes it very, very clear that there are the two options. Either you serve God or you serve the world. You can't serve both. You can't have both. You can't enjoy both of those. You enjoy the world for a season, or you get to enjoy God for a lifetime. Why do you do what you do? These are some of the greatest teens, I believe, literally in all of America. Right here. You come from great churches. You come from great homes. And you're here, you do all the right things, you say all the right words. Why do you do it? Amen. Do you do it for your spiritual leader, or do you truly do it for God? Do you do it because this is what I know people want me to do, or do you do it because you truly love God? Amen. Here's what happens. We just sang right before we had the message, I'll say yes, right? We just sang that song. If you decide this is what I want, that's the decision that you have to make. Is this what I want? Why do I do what I do? Once you get that decision settled, these other yes or no questions later on, I'll say yes, Lord wants me to do this, yes. Why? Because you've already settled it back here. This is what I want. Yes, I'll say yes to serving God a lifetime. Why? Because this is what I want. Yes, I'll say yes to living a godly lifestyle. Why? Because this is what I want. Yes, I'll say yes to dating right and to living right and to living holy and righteously. Why? Because this is what I want. Once you get the question, this is what I want, the other questions are easy. The other questions just breeze on by. You don't even have to think about it. Why? Because this is what I want. I made the decision as a senior in high school that this is what I want. And since that time, I can tell you, it's never been a hard decision since. There's never been a question, am I going to serve God in a lifetime? Or am I going to do His will? Those are all so easy once you settle the question, why do you do what you do? Do you do it for somebody else? Do you do it because everybody's watching? Do you do it because you're afraid of what other people are going to think? Or do you do it because you truly love God? Once you settle why you do what I do, this is what I want, once you settle that, all the questions in life become so easy. By the way, God saved us. It would be very, very, it would be the most selfish thing for us to do to say, thank you for that salvation, and then that's it.
That's right.
And then be like, thank you. Right. And maybe you don't even say thank you. And you just live your life and you say, I'm so glad I'm saved. And then you never decide, this is what I want. Right. You never decide, this is what I truly want in life. Once you decide that, and again, here's what happens. Once you decide that, all the questions become so easy. So every moment in your life after that, you get to point back and be like, this is what I want. Yes, you go through hard times, but this is what I want. Yes, you go through financial difficulty, but what? This is what I want. Yes, I go through hardships, and yes, there's our sorrows, and yes, it's not always easy, but this is what I truly want. Is this what you want? Do you want the Christian life? Or do you want to try to roll the dice, try your luck with the world? Yeah. It never ends pretty. Right. It never does. The Bible speaks that out. Personal experiences speak that out. Your spiritual leaders can tell you that it never pans out. Right. Decide today, this is what I want. Once you get that settled, everything else becomes so easy.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.